He's seeking something that he can handle.
Oh, look at this box, right? Pastor Doug asked if he wanted me to put it away. I said, yeah, put that box away. But now we're going to use it as a prop, right? This box, it's, you know, when a guy carries something funny, you say, is that heavy? He says, it's not heavy, it's awkward. Right? How many times have you heard that? Right? It's not heavy, I wouldn't need your help. I got it. But it's awkward, so I need your help. Right? But it's not the weight, trust me. I got this. Right? When the devil comes up against a spiritual believer, he is looking for something to grab onto. Right? He is looking for something that he can manipulate in some way that he can pull you around. And the only thing that he can access is the old sin nature. Right? The rest of you, remember we said it, the spiritual man is a slippery seal? Right? Like it's hard to grasp. The devil cannot grasp. But the old sin nature, what is that? Bing. Handle. Right? Easy to take and now to manipulate and to manage. This is what he's talking about, the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking someone who is depending on the flesh. And someone who is subject to the natural man. Because the spiritual man he cannot touch. The devil can't touch him. Why? Colossians 3. He is hid with Christ in God. Inaccessible to the devil. Cannot be touched. This is the spiritual man, the new man. Paul calls him in the book of Ephesians, the new man. Ooh, yeah, the new man. Not just new in appearance, but new qualitatively, like completely new. He says in 2 Corinthians, a new creation. Not just a new and improved, right? Like the cafe, we improved, new and improved, but it's still the same drywall, the same tile, right? It's just painted. But the old man does not have power with God. He is subject to those things. Okay? But it's important to know that when I believe, there are 96 things that happen to me the moment I believe. Isn't that fascinating? There's a booklet about it. What happened when you received Christ? If you want a copy, we can get you one tonight. Tonight only. No. You got to dig through that bucket and find it. No, we have some in the back. You can have it. 96 things happen to you the moment you receive Christ. One of them is that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30. And in that verse it says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for how long? Until the day of redemption. Until the day that you are called home and you are face to face with Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise with no interruption. No interruption. Hallelujah. Man, that's good. Your cell phone, you're driving through on Parmenta Road and your cell phone reception just drops out of nowhere, right? Interrupted. It's lost. The connection is lost. My life as a believer, there is never an interruption in the Holy Spirit's sealing in my life. He doesn't leave me. He doesn't forsake me. He doesn't get disappointed in me and tell me he's waiting for me outside or something, right? Like, when you figure this out, come and I'll come back and I'll set up my shop again in your heart. No, he seals us forever in perpetuity, right? Until we are face to face with Christ. He takes up permanent residence inside of us. This cannot change. It is true. True. Isn't that a good word? True. Truth. This is something that is true, meaning it cannot change by definition. It is true, and it is not based on my feeling, and it is not based on a sensation, but it is based on the Word of God. And I experience it by faith. By faith. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that I understand by faith. The filling and the leading of the Holy Spirit is not something that I understand by sensation. There might be a sensation involved, but it is by faith that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like it's by faith that I am sealed with the Holy Spirit when I believe. Okay? All of that is true about me and you as believers. But, like we said, I still have a human nature. I still have an old sin nature, and this is being sought, like we said. It is desired. And there is someone who would like to provoke me into activity in the natural man, in the old sin nature. Have you ever experienced that? Like there is no mistake about things. You get flustered, you get frustrated, you get angry, you get jealous, envious, right? Anxious, fearful, full of doubt. Like all of that stuff is provoked. The devil can use the atmosphere and he can use things, advertisements, conversations, subjectivity, and he uses all this stuff to get me to this little place where my old sin nature comes to the foreground, and then he can grab it and he can provoke it. Right? Have you felt it? Being provoked into discouragement, being provoked into despair, like kind of like prompted into it. It could be that you were a little blue. You're feeling down, and then you recognize it, and you have something you can do with it there. You could entertain it and allow it and go with it, or you can allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through it in a new way, in a different way. Okay. You with me? Okay, I'm hanging on too. All right. If I am more in tune with the old sin nature than the new man, then I could find myself yoked up with something destructive or something restrictive. I could be bound by something and I could be yoked to something natural that limits my spiritual life. Okay? The yoke. Have you seen two oxen with a yoke together? They have this big, big wooden thing and it is contoured to fit over their shoulders. And they put the two oxen together so that they can work together in pulling a burden. And the one cannot do what it wants. It is bound to the other one. And it could be that I could be yoked to something. I could be yoked to anger. I could be yoked to a substance. I could be yoked to toxic thinking or negative thinking, right? I could be yoked to it, and that I am connected by it, and where it goes, I go. What it says, I follow. Right? Discouragement, despair, lethargy, like some kind of like just, you know, like in the book of Proverbs, he says, consider the ant, O sluggard. Right? Consider the ant, O sluggard. He says the slug, he likes to turn on his bed like a hinge, like a door turns on his hinge. Right? Isn't that interesting? Get out of bed, go to work. But there's a lion in the streets, it says in the book. But there's a lion in the streets. Right? There's always a reason not to go. Right? I could be subject to jealousy. I could be yoked to jealousy. I could be yoked to insecurity. I could be yoked, like we said earlier, to my family, and that I could say that I look at my family and I have no potential beyond it. What it is, I am. You think of the caste system in India, that they are bound, they are stuck in that caste. And how many, I've heard some amazing stories of people who have made it here and they have worked and they have become amazing, amazing doctors and scientists and these things, and they wouldn't have that opportunity in the system they lived in. Am I considering, do I put myself in a caste, in a sense, that I cannot rise above this thing? You know, and I have this in my family history, therefore I will not be anything but that. Isn't that a terrible way to live? Bound to it, victim to it. I could be yoked to self-righteousness or comparison, or that I consider myself in relation to somebody else. And I look at Carlos and I say, man, someday I'll be like Carlos. Right? And then I look at Andy and I say, but at least I'm not there. Right? Right? And I live and I am yoked to this idea, and I could miss out on what God is saying to me because I understand what they are. Oh, what a terrible bondage that is. That I miss out on the newness and the freshness and the unbelievable manna from God because of what I think about Him and what I think about Him and how I compare myself to them. Isn't that, man? The children of Egypt, they were in the desert for 40 years, and every day they woke up and they could go pick up bread that tasted like honey and oil. Doesn't that sound good? You ever get an olive loaf or something? It's so good, right? Dip it in a little Armando's Portuguese sweet bread. You dip it in a little olive oil. It's so good. Oh, man. You could be missing out on that because you are comparing yourself to somebody else and God is speaking, but you instead are comparing yourself, or you are proud and you are self-righteous. That's another one. I could be bound to my pride. I could be yoked to gossip or criticism. That's a dangerous one. Proverbs and James both talk about the tongue. This little tongue, la, 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 I can't control, la, 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 and it gets me into sin. The tongue, huh? Did anybody know that song? Please tell me someone's heard that song before. No? I just wrote it. Next worship song, la, 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 la. I could be yoked to knowledge. Right? I could be yoked to discouragement. I could be yoked to subjectivity and a subjective understanding of things. That I only understand things based on my own self. And I miss out on what God is doing because I translate it all through me. Right? We could do that. I could be yoked to time. I could say, well, I could miss out on what God is doing because I don't have the time or because I don't apply myself to my time. We want to redeem the time, like Paul says in Ephesians 5. Why do we want to redeem the time? Because the days, they are evil. They are evil. And the Lord's coming back and He has put us here to work, to be moving for Him. So all of these things are possible in my life as a believer, as someone who was born from above, as someone who is completely new, as someone who has the option to live another way, it's possible that I could be bound and yoked to something. What is my answer? How do I get out from underneath it? I could pull on it, right? Lift. Could try to turn the other thing into turn the other thing into my way of doing things. Have you ever tried to do that? Drag all your stuff along with you and tell Jesus it's going to be fine. You figured out a way to make it work in your faith. And we could kind of try to cram our understanding of things into His life. Right? You say, Jesus, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I do this all the time. And He says, that's exactly the point. You do this all the time. Right? You are, if you, there are, what's the word? Consequences for the way we live. Right? I could look to Him and I could say, "How? Where are you? How come you're not present in my life?" And He says, I am speaking to you, but you are subject to these things and you cannot hear me. Or how can you walk with me when you are walking with that thing? Sexuality is a big thing. And it is something that we want to take our way and tell God it's okay, it's cool, it's cool, it's okay, it's okay. Everyone's doing it, right? And He says, that's fine. I'm not worried about what everybody is doing. I am looking at my word and my objective truth, not your subjective understanding of it. And if you will come in line with what I am saying, you will find great blessing in it. Right? And the world could say, well, you messed up. You messed up with me. I was supposed to be a woman. God, you messed up. And He says, I don't think I did. You are free to think that and you are free, but I don't expect that I would be blessing you. I am here. I am in truth. I know what I have done. I know how I have designed you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are perfect. We could think about sex outside of marriage and say that I have the freedom to do whatever I want. You do. You do. You have a free will. You are free to do. But also, God is not in fellowship with that. And He is not saying, do whatever you want and I will come alongside of you. He is saying, come unto Me. Take My yoke upon you. Take My burden upon you. And you will learn from Me, and My yoke and it is light. And I will teach you and I will lead you. Right. We like to take our yokes and allow Christ to bend to our yokes. And we say, hey, come on and join me. Hey, come on, Jesus, this will be fun. You're my homeboy, right? And He's saying, no, I don't have fellowship there. I love you. I love you. Where is this broken? Because like the children of Israel experienced in Egypt, that they were bound, they were slaves, they were in bondage. And when the cry for freedom went out from Moses, remember the first time in Exodus chapter 4, let My people go. Pharaoh said, what, do they have time on their hands now? Okay, we'll take away the straw and they will have to make just as much work with less materials. That when I politely ask the flesh to leave me alone, have you ever tried that? Like, excuse me, roaring lion, would you mind leaving this handle alone? Right? Would you mind leaving this handle alone? I would like it to remain in my life. I enjoy it. But I wouldn't like it to be manipulated by you. Will you just leave my flesh alone? In old sin nature, flesh, would you stop listening to the roaring lion? Would you stop being influenced by that? And then we expect things to politely go along the way we want. No, it doesn't happen. It says, oh, that's right. Oh, you have a thought? You would like to not be bound? How about you are? It is more rigid for you. I take away freedom. That's what Pharaoh says. You read it there in Exodus. He says, oh, you want to go worship your God? I don't think so. I don't think so. The roaring lion is the same way. Okay, let's get the upswing here. Where are we going? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Again, the context is a prophecy about, again, the Assyria and the Midianites. Assyria. But look at verse 27. It shall come to pass in the day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder. Oh, hallelujah. And his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. The yoke shall be destroyed. The anointing breaks the yoke. Again, we are making an application here to this verse and to our life as believers. We have been anointed. We have been. Just like the priests in the Old Testament, when they went into service, they are anointed. Remember when Aaron was anointed? They poured the ointment on his head and it went down. A whole pound of ointment, and it flowed all the way down his beard, down his garments to his feet. We are a royal priesthood in Christ. And we have been anointed. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes in and He speaks something different to us. He seals us and He secures us in heaven. We are seated above in heavenly places. That is our new identity. And He calls us to recognize that truth in our lives. And when the little impulses come and when the little initiations come to let this handle out and the flesh can be manipulated, there is a truth that I can go back to, that I am sealed with the Holy Spirit and I belong to God. But there is a different thing, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, where I am subject to Him. And I could say to Him, Lord, in my flesh, this is what I want, but I put all of that aside and I submit to You. I submit to Your thinking on these things. I want Your mind on this thing. And that anointing can break the yoke. It can. Bring your pride, bring your fear, bring your worry, bring your anxiety, bring your substances, bring your stuff to God and say, I don't want this. I want your way. Give me your thinking on this. And His anointing is able to break the yoke. And the thing that manipulated me and controlled me, right, that I would try to turn against it and it would turn me back, that thing has been broken. Broken. And when a yoke is broken, it is no longer, it's not mended again. Like you don't get the wood glue from Home Depot and put it back together. It's broken. The Holy Spirit is not concerned with the curses that were spoken about the old man. Remember Balaam? Balaam is over there spewing curses, right? Like a hired prophet of doom. We used to say in Baltimore, we had some plumbers, and we love Pastor Doug. He's a great plumber, right? And we had this one guy, we called him the prophet of doom, right? Because he came into a job. It didn't matter what the situation would be. He'd come back in, you know, chewing his fingernails, never trust a plumber or choose his nails. Just terrible, right? But he'd come in and he would always have some crazy thing. And it was like, here we go. Right, here we go. We got to dig up the yard. We got to do this. We got to do this. Or we just put a new valve on, right? And it was always this like crazy thing, like you know, rip up the entire. Or you know, this thing. Like there, Balaam is a hired prophet, he doesn't have any substance behind, no authority behind it. And it could be that I could subject myself to a hired prophet that really doesn't have authority over my life. The Lord, the Holy Spirit is not listening to the curses that are in the old man. The Holy Spirit doesn't look at me and evaluate me and look at my family history and say, well, you had this, we can work with that. No, you are a new creation. The yoke has been broken. You are free and you are liberated into the life of God. Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. You were there. Stand in it. Recognize it. Recognize and trust what is true about you, that you are anointed. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. He is ready to lead you, and will you believe it? This is important for us as believers, because He did not save us just to see us when we die. But He delivered us, He saved us, so that we could live with Him. Not subject to the old curses and to the old hired prophets, but subject to the Holy Spirit and subject to the life of God that has overcome everything in here. And He is not listening to the old stuff. He's not listening to it. And you could say, well, you could disqualify yourself based on what you know about yourself. You don't know what I did when I was a teenager. Who cares? Who cares? What has Christ done at the cross? And how has He showed it to you? How has He proved it to you? He's given you the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but He has promised to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to lead you and to give you the wisdom to make the next step and to overcome the next thing. Because this life that we live in the flesh, it will always be challenged. And we will always be provoked to go back to these old ways of living. The devil is no idiot. He knows what buttons to push in my life. Plenty of intel. He's got a dossier on me. Like he's got the whole thing. He knows it all. And he is pushing the buttons and he is provoking. How do I overcome that? By putting on the new man in Colossians 3. By putting on the new man in Ephesians 4. Live this way. Believe it. It's done by faith. And you could say, well, I don't feel new in my thinking. I don't feel new in my heart. When I pick up the Bible, it doesn't jump off the page. There's no electricity. No, this is by faith. And you continue by faith. And at some point, you will feel it. At some point, you will have an experience in your life. And you'll say, oh my gosh, that was beautiful. And hang on to it for the next 10 years because it might not happen again. Right? It's true, isn't it? But does that change the truth of God in your life? Does that change the truth that His ear is inclined to my prayer? Does that change the truth that He is advocating for me? Does that change the truth that He is not listening to the curse that was in my past? It does. It makes an impact. It breaks the yoke. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, 2 Corinthians 3:17. I want to live there. I want to live where there's liberty. Liberty cannot stand where there is not truth. Right? Like, liberty without truth is just dependent on the next thing that comes along. But liberty that is standing on truth is secure. And I can trust it, and I can be free in it, and I can go this way and that way in it in my life with God, and that is true freedom. This is why He came, to break the yoke, to remove the curse, so that I would not have to be a curse. It says in Galatians 3:13 that He became a curse for me. Huh? How about that? He became a curse for me. Why? Because He could handle it, because He could overcome it. And He hung on a tree. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, it says. Who hung on a tree? Christ. Who will never hang on a tree, hopefully? Us. Right? Us. It has been done. It is accomplished. He said it. He's given us the Holy Spirit to remind us of it, to lead us in it, and to stretch us into the truth of it. So let's follow Him. Let's be led by Him. Let's listen to His voice. Let's not listen to Balaam. And the spirit of Balaam that's in this world, Jude talks about it. There is a spirit of Balaam in the world. And it's this lying and this hired curse. Okay? Amen? Lord, thank You for delivering us. Thank You for setting us free. Lead us in this freedom, Lord. We want to know the height, the breadth, the depth of Your love for us, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. If there's anybody here who's never received Christ, you've never been born from above, just in your heart say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You bled and You died for my sin. Come into my heart and live. Seal me with the Holy Spirit. And if you've said that prayer for the first time, raise your hand. We'd like to pray with you, celebrate with you. Yes, Lord. Thank You. Bless our remaining time here as we worship with You, Lord. Thank You. Amen.